T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Well, good morning to you. I couldn't get my mic turned on there for some odd reason. I'm not quite sure why that happened. Glad you're with us, though, this morning. It is Wednesday. The last time I checked, a little bit on the chilly side out there and a little bit of fog. So be careful. I know maybe down around the Eureka area is where it's worse right now. But if you're near a river, you might see a little bit of fog out there this morning. Just a take it easy, and Sue Thomas will have the very latest on that for you coming up here in just a couple of minutes. So, good. Lots of rain yesterday. Couldn't get anything done. Needed to do some yard work. Couldn't get anything done because it rained until like 6 o'clock. And then it was dark.
It was cozy. I actually had time while Easton was napping to read a book. I very rarely do that.
Wow.
And I sat there with my nice cozy blanket and read. It was blissful.
What exactly are you reading? Like War and Peace, or what is it? What do you like to read?
Yeah. No, right now I'm reading a book called Imagine Heaven. It's about near-death experiences and what people have said that they experienced. It's really interesting.
Oh, I bet it is.
My pastor recommended it.
Wow. I love that. I love to read spy novels, like fiction spy novels, like Mitch Rapp and that sort of thing.
Really?
I do. That's what I can't. And once I start, if I find a good series, I can't put them down. And then I go through a little period of depression when I reach the end of the series and there are no more books. Or the next one's not coming out till like September.
Mm-hmm.
And then that drives me crazy.
What's sad is when you read a really great book and then you watch the movie and it's just, they can't include as much detail. It's just not quite. Because you start to envision the characters.
Yes.
And you then see how they've portrayed them, and you're like, that's not how the person looked in my head. That's not how they sounded or how they acted.
I don't know that I've ever seen a movie that did true credit to a book that I was really enthused about. From Hunt for Red October on down, I loved the movie, The Hunt for Red October, but the book was better.
Mm-hmm.
How about you, Carl Middleman?
Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets is the only book that is better than the movie.
The only movie that's better than the book, you mean? Did you say
yes,
that backwards?
Yes, that's what I meant.
Okay.
It's a good thing they don't have a Star Wars book series. Because
they do.
They do?
Yeah,
there are
hundreds of them.
Really?
Of course. Yes. And Carl, if you were ever in his man cave, you would see the walls are lined with Star Wars books.
And then Disney bought them, and so they all mean nothing.
Wow. I didn't know that. I'm a huge Star Wars fan, so I know it's shocking to all of you that I've not read the books.
I can't believe
Very
that we're
upsetting.
Having this conversation.
Actually, I wasted so much time reading all those books, and then, they're so-called legends.
Guess what? And it meant nothing.
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 Not a damn thing.
All right, what we got going on today, I don't know if you heard yesterday in court, they had testimony from this publisher against Donald Trump. Pecker is his last name. And he claims that, we were friends. Basically, if you listen to the mainstream media, he admitted that they got together and he said, I would suppress any bad stories about you. That's not a conspiracy. The mainstream media in America does that every day for the left in this country. They conspire to tamp down stories and not cover other stories like the Hunter Biden laptop out of fear that it might damage a Democrat candidate's chances of getting elected. This happens every day in America. And yesterday, if you listen to the mainstream media coverage of that trial, Well, it was shocking that he reported he would try to buy stories and then not report on them. What was he thinking? But in reality, what David Pecker said to this jury was, yeah, Donald Trump's a good guy. I met with him and said, yeah, I'll do what I can. If there's anybody shopping around negative stories. I mean, I'm not saying I support that kind of thing, but it happens every day in America. It's not a violation of the law in any way, shape, or form to do that in America. So we're going to get Greg Jarrett on here in about an hour, legal analyst for Fox. You've heard him on here many times, and get his take on what it really meant yesterday. He referred to the case as hocus pocus, and can't wait to get to Greg on here early today and chat about that. We got lots of good stuff for you coming up. First, though, I want to get to the shortlist, Carl, please.
The Mark Cox shortlist.
Very radical people wanting to rip the colleges down, the universities down, and that's a shame. But it all starts with Joe Biden. The signals he puts out are so bad.
Yeah, there you have it. It's true, right? You got Joe Biden basically trying to straddle this issue over Israel and what's going on with the war in Gaza and trying to kill Hamas terrorists, which they've all lost the whole point of this, which is wiping out the terrorist threat of the Hamas terrorists.
In a sense, I don't know why we're surprised by Trump. How many times does he have to prove we can't be trusted?
He waited for the applause line there and doesn't even realize that he told the truth about himself. How many times does he have to prove that we can't be trusted?
Getting ready to apparently send another $61 billion to a country that's already received more than $113 billion from us. That's not cool.
No, that is that is not cool. Some of the senators speaking out yesterday and state reps or congressional members about this Ukraine aid bill, which spent billions on the borders for foreign countries and not a dollar on the United States border. Yep, blood on your head. Did you hear the protesters there? This is in Tennessee, where they passed some common sense legislation yesterday. And Kim, I was following your tweet on this because I appreciated the fact that you went to the trouble to try to tweet this out. And what was the best thing about it was some of the comments that people tweeted in. What it shows is just how ignorant people really are when it comes to the issue of guns. It never ceases to amaze me. So in Tennessee yesterday, the House passed a bill that the Senate had already voted on. It's on its way to the governor's desk that would allow teachers to be armed. Not just any teachers. It would require lengthy training and blah, 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 right? Which is fine. I have no problem with that. The important thing is, good people with guns are there to protect you if bad people with guns come in. And among the comments, the really nasty troll comments of people who refuse to use their real names because they're keyboard warriors and basically they're cowards. This is what somebody named Young Jude said about you, Kim. Your ignorance is offensive to anyone with a mental health disorder. You are sorely misinformed, Kim. Armed faculty and staff increase the risk of suffering due to gun violence. So this moron believes that having a law-abiding citizen with a gun, who by the very nature of it means they're not there to hurt anybody, unless, of course, a criminal comes in trying to hurt everybody, somehow increases the risk of suffering due to gun violence. At that point, the only person who would be suffering as a result of a gun would be the criminal miscreant who came into the building intending harm on the students there.
Mm-hmm.
What do they miss? Do these morons who've never seen a gun actually think they jump up and fire themselves?
I think they do believe that.
Honestly.
I mean, my comment on Twitter was that X whatever said that a lot of these mentally deranged people are going to schools because they're a soft target. Sadly, they can go in there and kill a lot of innocent lives of these children and staff in a very short amount of time. A lot of these schools, even here in the St. Louis area, they don't have a school resource officer. So what are they really supposed to do when an intruder comes in armed with a gun?
There's some local nut here named Tom Cavanaugh, who actually puts his name on his Twitter handle. He calls himself the mayor of Flavortown. I'm not even sure what that means. Schools shouldn't be any kind of target. Well, this is a true fact, but they are because they're soft targets, Tom. But he says, but that's now the reality because blanking idiots like you think the solution for everything is more guns. Because if we just banned guns, according to Tom here, then the criminals wouldn't have guns. Didn't you know that, Kim?
I mean, even this morning when we listened to the Gordon Deal show, they talked about some criminal and they're like, yeah, he wasn't supposed to have a gun. I mean, that's the narrative that we hear, right? It's these crazies are the ones who are not supposed to have a gun. But shocking to everybody, the criminals don't follow the rules.
I heard the guy. He goes, we arrested this guy and he's a felon. He had no business having a gun.
What? That never happens.
It's just you watch it, you hear it, you read it. You can't believe people are that dense, but they are. That somehow a person who went through 80 hours of training and is there to protect your children from criminals is the problem. These people are sick and maybe all mentally disturbed, to be very honest with you. The fact that the guy's offended that you said criminals are mentally ill, he's defending the criminals. Ah, wow. Got me on a roll this morning already. All right, let's get to a quick break. Got Kim on a Whim coming up here at the bottom of the hour. Another shooting, did I hear this morning on Washington Avenue?
There was a break-in the other night. Was there a shooting as well?
I think I heard that this morning.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I mean, it just every day it's something new downtown if you're living or working down here, for sure. We're going to talk more about that. Kim on a Whim coming up at the bottom of the hour. Carl, who is leading the national anthem today?
Richard Sturban from the Oak Ridge Boys is 81 today, Mark. So here are the Oak Ridge Boys.
Let's hit it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
As we're getting ready to apparently send another $61 billion to a country that's already received more than $113 billion from us. That's not cool. And it shows a little bit too much loyalty to a country other than ours. Mm. On the floor of one of the legislative chambers of our legislative branch in the United States of America. That just doesn't sit well with me. And I don't know a lot of Americans that think that's okay.
Yeah, Senator Mike Lee there talking about the Senate unanimously, overwhelmingly voting to approve this aid to foreign countries yesterday. I love how they report on it. I know Eric Schmidt for sure voted against it. I'm assuming Mike Lee voted against it. I'd have to check on Senator Hawley, but I would imagine that he probably voted against it. This is insanity, folks. And it's not about whether or not you support Ukraine or not. The Biden administration made Ukraine they made that an issue because they refused to tie it to border security. So the Republicans said, no, we're not giving you that until you show some concern about the terrorists and the criminals and the disease and the fentanyl that's coming across our southern border. And you absolutely got left in the dust yesterday by your elected officials in Washington, D.C., who want to take the high road and say all that's important is that we support Ukraine. I'm all for funding Israel. And I don't mind providing bullets to what's going on in Ukraine. I don't want another dime of my money going to support the economy in Ukraine. Not a dime of it. But that issue has got to be tied to some sanity on our southern border. I'm all in with Mike Lee and everybody else who voted against this nonsense. Go to cut 11, Carl, please.
What we have spent is, I think, laughable. I don't think we ought to be doing this. I don't think any sane country in our position would do this. And yet we're doing it unflinchingly, cheered on by the media and by the political establishment of both parties. And I think it's disgraceful.
I agree. Completely agree on that. I got a friend who all he cares about, I believe, is Ukraine, period. End of discussion. And we can't, we're odds on this. I don't know how America has managed to get itself in this situation, but we got to fix it. There's no doubt about it. Coming up, we'll get to a Kim on a Whim. Next hour, Greg Jarrett with the latest on the testimony in this hocus pocus case up in New York against Donald Trump. We'll be back.
Kim on a Whim.
A pretty big decision was made yesterday by the Federal Trade Commission. The FTC voted yesterday to ban non-compete agreements nationwide. Yeah, thank you. That does deserve a round of applause. Being in media my entire career, I've always had a non-compete. And if you've had one yourself, you know that, well, I guess it depends. For example, mine have been 6 months to a year, depending on where I worked, saying, hey, if you decide to leave or for whatever reason you're no longer with our particular company, you can't work in the industry at a different company for this amount of time, basically, because they're worried about you sharing different things you've learned there and the investment into training you. There's all these reasons that they say that you should have a non-compete. So, for example, when I was let go from KMOV, even though they let me go and it wasn't like I said I quit, I still would not have been able to go even work here for, I believe it was 6 months, because my non-compete would have been in effect.
I'm not so sure this is legal or will stand up in court.
Well, we know there will be lawsuits.
Yeah.
But so, I support this.
So here's the thing. It's not uniform because there are states that already don't allow it. I believe Illinois is one of them. I believe in the state of Illinois, the state law does not allow a non-compete. Here's where I support it, and here's where I don't support it. If there's proprietary information that you could go to work for a competitor, you could walk out the door at one place, go to work for a competitor, and using that information hurt the business of the company you just left, I see the legal precedent for that. Television news for a long time, and radio for that matter, have put these non-competes in because of the belief that if they've invested in you as a name and they have helped amplify that name and raise your exposure in the community and your name recognition and all that, that they very carefully word this in these documents that in return for this compensation that you're agreeing to, it's what it says in there, in return for this compensation, you agree that you are not going to go to work for anybody in our DMA, area market dominant influence for, they used to call it ADI, area of dominant influence of the signal, for six months or a year. It's always been pretty standard practice. What it does is it drives down salaries. at the end of the day.
Really? Because I think it would increase it because it would force businesses potentially to be more competitive, knowing that you could just up and leave.
No, what I'm saying is it drives down salaries, because when you go to renegotiate, they know you're likely to resign, because even if you walked away, you'd have to wait 6 months or a year to get another job somewhere. And other stations that have non-competes are hesitant to hire you because they know that they can't use you for 6 months or 12 months. And if they challenge your non-compete in court, they're shooting themselves in the foot because they also have a non-compete.
So you're saying having a non-compete drives down salaries?
Yes.
Yes, I would agree.
Yeah, I
would agree.
That's what I think.
There are companies where they'll offer sometimes to buy you out, to buy out your contract early. There's things you can do to try to work around it, but usually it's thousands and thousands of dollars. It could be a legal battle.
I'm not defending non-competes. I've always had one. Every market I've worked for has been in a state where it's legal, and I've always had a non-compete. Always.
Yeah.
I'm not convinced that what the federal government did under Joe Biden's... See, the FTC is promoting this as something that's going to help the average worker. Well, most people don't have a non-compete.
Well, it says about... No, you're right. Well, it says an estimated 30 million workers, which is about 1 in 5 Americans in the workforce, they claim, according to this Fox Business article, are subject to a non-compete agreement. I mean, that's not the majority, but that's quite a few people.
But my guess is even that, I mean, I think we... And I'm not saying you. I think, generally speaking, when you think about this, they may be simplifying it, because I'm not sure... Legally, they can stop a company from reaching an agreement with you, which you usually sign a document that says you agree that this information is proprietary and you're not going to share it with another company for X amount of time. And in return for that, you get compensation for it. My guess, this ends up in court. This will get challenged at some level.
But why can't a company have you sign a separate agreement that has nothing to do with a non-compete, but strictly says you can't share any of X, Y, and Z information, and if you do, essentially you'd be subject to a lawsuit? Because to me, that's completely fair. I absolutely understand why a business would not want to invest in you, and you're open to all this information about this company, and then you just take it and run off with that to a different company to benefit them. I get that.
Right.
But why could it not be a separate agreement that employees are required to sign?
Well, I think that's a big question. I've read through the FTC statement on it, and it doesn't make that clear. But for example, our account managers here at Odyssey, I know, and I would not be surprised if it's not the case at Hubbard and some of these other radio companies, and probably Gray TV, who operates Channel 4, and whoever runs Channel 2 now. Tegna runs Channel 5, don't they still? Isn't it still Tegna?
I think it's Tegna.
My guess is their account executives have something like this that says, if you leave, you can't contact our clients for 6 months or a year and try to take business away from our company. See, those are non-compete agreements that make sense to me.
That's
a non-compete agreement that makes sense to me, because if you can develop business here and then just walk out the door across the street and steal that business away immediately, they should be able to prevent that. So all I'm saying is I don't fully understand the breadth of this rulemaking by administrative fiat on the part of the... Until this goes to court and gets decided there, my guess is all of these are still in effect. I don't think the FTC can rubber stamp this and claim, hey, guess what? Today, all of those contracts people have signed for the last 20 years are now defunct.
Well, I think it was going to take effect, 120 days after it was like officially written and whatever. What's interesting, though, is that existing non-competes will be treated differently for senior executives, according to this ruling or this decision yesterday. So if you're in a policy-making position who earns over $151,164 annually, I don't know how they came up with that number, very random, then your non-compete is still in effect. But everybody else's would essentially be void. So even if you have a contract right now, according to this, once this takes effect, it's done. You could leave. But I agree with you that I think you would that is going to be the legal challenge, because you have to differentiate between, say, a salesperson stealing all of the clients that they've just connected with and developed business partnerships with, versus saying, you know, you can go to the other company and do sales there, but you can't take any of the existing clients for or reach out to them for X amount of months. That's understandable to me. So maybe if they can just come up with more specific rules, and maybe they have and I've somehow missed it, then this wouldn't be as debated. But I think this completely makes sense, because, in fact, Tina on Facebook is saying that she believes Washington University, I think she's saying, does a non-compete for physicians and believes it's 2 years. So would you have to leave the St. Louis area then to be a doctor?
Like you, what she said, I didn't read her comment, that if a physician wants to leave BJC and go to Mercy, they have a 2-year non-compete for the patients.
Well,
so in other words, you can't just take all of your patients and go somewhere else.
Or is she saying that, and maybe she can comment and explain this, or maybe she's saying you can't even go, for example, work at Mercy if you've just left BJC for 2 years? Because that would be ridiculous to me. If you spent how much money to go and study this in school, and this is another
failure of the medical industry, where all of these doctors now work for the health systems, where they all used to have their own offices and they would contract with the health systems to have access to their hospitals. They've since moved all of that inside. All of the billing is done through the hospitals. And it's one reason why COVID was such a mess.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because administrative fiat orders them what to do X, Y, and Z when it comes to treating COVID, and they had no other options. I've kind of deviated from what you're talking about here. But, I mean, I could see why the systems would want to do that. I'd be interested to see what impact this has. Let the lawsuits begin. You know they will.
Yeah. I just feel like if, for example, I went to journalism school, that's my training. I spent 4 years studying it and thousands and thousands of dollars, because I paid for 99% of my parents paid for 1 year. I paid for the rest. And to tell me I have to sit out for a year or move to a different area. I mean, thank goodness I did have a job after I lost my job at KMOV.
Right.
Otherwise, I would have been a sitting duck.
I know.
I mean, you and I, and again, I wouldn't have even been able to work here.
Everybody who's on air, generally speaking, in the state of Missouri that I know of, has some sort of standard cookie cutter language like that in their contract. Mm-hmm. It's part of what it is.
Yeah, I'd be curious for anyone listening, if they have a non-compete, what line of work they're in.
Yeah, I don't know what other industries it affects. I'm mostly obviously familiar with this one. Yeah, that's interesting. We'll have to get maybe Greg Jarrett, although I want to talk to him about the Trump thing, has some comment on this, because he's a legal analyst for Fox, and we're going to get him on here at the top of the hour to talk more about the testimony in the Trump trial yesterday. So we'll bring that up to him. We're going to be back in just a minute.
Obviously, we've been working really hard. I think the most recent thing to report is that we are working hard on election integrity, and we just announced last week that we have 100,000 committed people who are going to be trained as poll workers. So, Eric, leading up to this election, I think we can all see the most important thing, aside from getting out the vote, is protecting that vote. We now have the ability at the RNC not just to have poll watchers, people standing in polling locations, but people who can physically handle the ballots. We want people all across this country.
Can we do this? I want to hear. This is really fascinating to me. So you have 100,000 people who are they? I think I saw paid at one point, but whatever. Irrelevant. But so they will.
So Laura Trump there last night on with Eric Bolling talking about what they've done in just 4.5 weeks at the RNC. I don't want to be a doomsdayer here, but what in the hell have they been doing? What was Ronna Romney McDaniel doing for the last 6 or 7 years at the RNC? I mean, honestly, if election integrity will be the answer among voter turnout to what happens November 2024, there's no doubt about that. But we have got to watch. We got to be there in person. We have to raise more hell when tens of thousands of ballots are dumped into the system with no tracking in the middle of the night. These are the things that have to be challenged in the next election, or they'll steal it again. Do you understand that? Laura Trump seems to understand that, and I'm encouraged that she and the, what's his name, the other guy at the RNC are in charge now, but I worry that there's not enough time. Honestly.
We're working hard to ensure election integrity because that is the most important thing we can do right now as we head into 2024. We have an election integrity division for the first time at the RNC. So you are going to see a marked difference as you head out to early vote. And I want to tell everybody, go early vote. I know we like to go vote on election day, but we have to make it too big to rig, Eric. We need everybody out voting as soon as they can, and then taking people from that day up to election day to go vote is the most important thing that we can do.
Yeah, I could not agree more. I know traditionally Republicans go on election day, but they've changed the rules on us, and you're going to have to abide by the new rules, and you're going to have to go vote. Don't let what happened in these April elections at the school boards be what we're griping and crying about in our beer. The day after the election this year in November. If we don't get the turnout, if you don't go get grandma and pick her up and take her to vote, we'll lose. The Democrats will see to it that they harvest enough votes to put that octogenarian Biden back in office. Let's not let that happen. Coming up, we'll talk to Greg Jarrett about the trial in New York and maybe non-competes coming up.
Get more at 971talk.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.